I want to thank my brother Chris for everything, for taking this part of the service this morning, for the very wise and thoughtful phone call he made to me in the middle of the afternoon that I wasn't expecting. Pastor Paul had called me on Thursday and said that he'd had some serious issues with his back and we're going to have to sort of play it by ear, and I hadn't heard anything from him, and just about the time I thought I would give him a call, I heard from Chris. So you got to know, as I said before, if he's not here, he's really, really hurting. So I appreciate your indulging the little texting episode that we had a little earlier. I will say another thing, too. Not the first time I've been up here speaking to you. I usually like to have a little more lead time. But that's okay, because, and this is a God thing, I was actually out on a run this morning, or yesterday morning, and just the Lord kind of laid a topic on my heart, and as I thought about it, and I sort of chewed on it through the whole day, and I thought, well, it's kind of odd, because I'm not going to be doing the pulpit supply thing until the end of the month, and then Chris called. So now we know that what God had in mind, we're ready to deal with that. So I'm going to read from a couple of different places in Scripture. We're not going to quite follow the agenda the way it is in your bulletin today. We're going to do something a little bit different. But I'm going to start reiterating something we heard already earlier this morning. We're going to read a little bit from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. So if you had looked that up earlier, that's where you want to be now. And then we're going to turn elsewhere and read a bit from Revelation 2 after that. So will you pray with me, please? Lord God, a little bit disjointed this morning, a little bit different, having to play things a bit by ear. But you know what? It's such a privilege to be in your house, to be in this place, and to know that despite the craziness, despite the flying by the seat of our pants, as it were, on some things, we know that you're here. We know that your Spirit is present, and you know that we're here to praise and worship and honor you. And so, Lord, as we work through the remainder of this morning, we just continue to pray for your presence, your blessing, that we continue to learn and to grow and to give you all the honor and glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Starting out at Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. Again, some of what we've heard already this morning. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." Then if you page over to Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read the first five verses of that chapter. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, and you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." God bless the reading of his word this morning. So there's kind of two attitudes going on, I think, as we consider this scripture. There's the attitude of the shepherds who heard this amazing news of a Savior born, announced by angels. And as we know from the other verses from that chapter that we heard this morning, there was rejoicing, there was enthusiasm, there was a response to that. excitement. And we compare that to the church at Ephesus 70-odd years later, where still some hard work, still some good things going on, but a sense of the faith had kind of gotten a little ho-hum, gotten a little dull, got a little bit boring. I almost was tempted to suggest that we consider where we might fall individually on that spectrum, that enthusiasm, that energy, that passion, and that sense of, well, we're still doing some of the same things in the way we should be doing them, but maybe not quite as passionate, not quite as energetic, not having that first love. Now, I call this message the ghost of Christmas present. The ghost of Christmas present. And I call it that because for a lot of us, I think Christmas today has become a little bit ghostly, okay? It's sort of there, and maybe we sort of see it, but it's a little bit dull. It's a little bit faded, kind of a shadow of its former self. And why is that? Why has Christmas become sort of ghostly to so many of us? Well, the reality is that we have allowed it to fade. We've allowed it to become something less than what it was. Christmas has become ghostly. Now, it's easy, I suppose, in that instance to say, well, it's not our fault. It's something else. It's the war on Christmas. Well, I'm here to tell you that Christmas has become ghostly not because of the so-called war against it. We hear about that in the media all the time, that there's this war against Christmas. Now, I'll say this. There are definitely powers on this earth that are trying to diminish Christ's presence and power in this place. But I am convinced that the war on Christmas is something that's become overblown and a misguided focus on so much of what we do as Christians. Christmas is ghostly because we forgot what it's really all about. And we've been wrapped up on things that it's really not about. We stopped living our lives as if Christmas matters. We stopped living our lives as if Christmas matters. So, talking about Christmas traditions, one, when I think about when I was a kid and think about Christmas when I was a child, the one thing that always jumps to my mind is a Charlie Brown Christmas, right? Probably everybody here has seen a Charlie Brown Christmas. It's sort of one of those staples. In fact, it was 50 years ago today that program first appeared. And we know it's such an amazing cartoon. It just continues to hit me every time I try to make an effort to watch it. And there's that one scene, that pivotal scene, and we know about it, right? Where Charlie Brown has spent the whole program trying to find that spirit of Christmas, trying to connect with what it means and have it mean something special to him. He's looked at all the people around him, all his peers, and they all seem to have found something to connect to Christmas, but he can't seem to find it. And so at one point, when he's failed to capture this joy of Christmas, he finally cries out and he says, "Someone, please tell me what Christmas is all about." And so his friend Linus, in what I believe is one of the most powerful moments in television, before or since, in a cartoon, that's saying something, but one of the most powerful moments in television, where Linus says, "I can tell you what Christmas is all about," and he stands in that auditorium and the light focuses on him, and he quotes from Luke 2, which I read this morning. We've heard a couple of times this morning. Now, most people watch that cartoon and they see that scene and they think that that's the point of the show, that that's the moment where the show makes its point. And they're wrong. At least they're partly wrong. Because I'm here to say that that's the beginning of the point. It's an important point to make, an essential point to make, but it's only the beginning of the point. The message hits its full mark in the next scene. When Charlie Brown tries to decorate that emaciated tree that he has. Remember that thing is it's falling down? It's a little twig and it's got some needles that fall off all the time. And he tries to decorate it and he nearly kills it instead. And he's so frustrated and he's so depressed and he's so sorrowful that he just walks off by himself. And then what happens? His peers, the very kids who have spent most of their childhood and his childhood ridiculing him and persecuting him, they come together and they decorate that tree, and they do it in a way that brings it a little love, as Linus says, and restores it and makes it better than it was before. But you see, it's not just the good news of Christ coming. That's great news. That's important news. We want to know that and celebrate it. But it's not just that. It's the redemption he brings and the love we're then expected to share in response to that salvation and that redemption that we get through Jesus Christ. In Luke 2, the shepherds didn't just listen to the words of the angels, right? They weren't just tuning in on the radio. They didn't just listen. They responded. They got up, they went to Bethlehem. They found the baby, they celebrated, they rejoiced because they knew what the angels had said was true, that salvation had finally come. They responded to what they had heard. Unfortunately, in this modern day, when we revisit that good news every Christmas, what has happened? We lose sight of that kind of joy. We lose touch with that kind of passion. Instead, so many of us start posting snarky little memes on the internet that complain about Christmas greetings. We get upset when someone says Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. We howl in outrage because of red coffee cups and that schools call their December parties holiday parties instead of Christmas parties. Does that matter? Does it matter? Do you know what the war that we talk about at Christmas is really about? It's about the world pushing back against the Scrooge-like cynicism that too many Christians display every time we dumb down Christmas to words and traditions, or worse, weaponize them against other people who maybe don't see things the way that we do, instead of living out what it really, truly means. Redemption, salvation, God's love shown to the world. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's what Christmas calls us to do. The meaning of Christmas should be about our first love, as the Ephesian church had lost sight of. Our first love, a sold-out devotion to Jesus Christ that we live out, that we shine on other people regardless of what the holiday means to them. Let's show them what it means. It's not just about what we get out of Christmas. It's about what we give as a result. The joy that Charlie Brown felt after Linus recited Luke 2 was an inward joy, a wonderful inward joy. The joy that his pals express around that tree was an outward-focused joy. Inward joy, outward joy. Both are important. Both are essential. Both are wondrous. Both are needed at this time of Christmas and all through the year. And it's that good news that restores life to the ghost of Christmas present. It's that good news that we remember as we celebrate the redemption, the salvation, the love of Jesus Christ at the Lord's table this morning. So this Christmas, I say, let's invigorate the ghost, right? Let's make that ghost alive again. Let's leave the war behind. Let's stop thinking about what we should be getting out of Christmas and start thinking about returning heart and soul to our first love, that gratitude of salvation, that love of the world in Christ's name.